Good morning, brothers and sisters. I hope you're all well. with the Lord. however, as you all know, if you have any access to the news, that the world that we're in is not that well, primarily because of this new war in the Middle East. I need not say more about that situation, which is extremely volatile and tenuous, to say the least. The situation that, as a whole, the earth has not faced for quite some time. And it should matter to us in this case, because the nation of Israel is involved. And this morning, of course, in these days, like many of us, I have a lot of anxieties and concerns and wonderings before the Lord of what is going on. As far as the general bigger picture, if we have some foundational understanding of the prophecies in the Bible, especially that which relates to Israel, God's people, on earthly people, we would be strengthened and we would be at peace, that everything is, so to speak, under control, the control of the ruling heavens, where the Lord is himself on the throne. And he is absolutely today still administrating the universe and the world's affairs for his own operation and move to advance his economy in this age. And of course, when we talk about this age, everything should warn us and impress us that things are really coming to a point, to an end state, to a final stage. Of course, no one can predict, no one can foretell so definitely, but there's enough in the Word of God, the prophets, the Lord Jesus himself, and the New Testament prophets as well, that have spoken concerning the consummation of the age, the end times, and so on. Of course, that always involves the component of God's Old Testament people, Israel. So this morning, I'm absolutely not trying to get into this debate, pro this or pro that, or what, who's right, who's wrong, and we should not spend our time on that. But since we are on this great and marvelous subject and burden of shepherding, you know, I think I would like to at least offer you a few verses, and this is by no means exhaustive, of God's care for Israel. From the beginning of the conflict, a couple of weeks ago, in the heat of things and all the back and forth and all the terrible, horrific, we do well to take a step back and go back to the Word of God. Actually, not only in this, but brothers and sisters, we need to learn as God's people, as Christians, as, and particularly for us in the Lord's recovery, who should know something more than the average. We should not be the same as the people in the world, just consumed with fear, with anxieties, and despair, and hopelessness. Needless to say, any kind of strong feeling, one way or another, concerning the involved parties in this conflict. We should simply go back to the Lord and His Word. And so, in other words, what we should do is, number one, we should just pray. After all, we are taught in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that when Paul charged Timothy concerning the church life, the very first item in his charge was the charge to pray. That first of all, we should pray. And there it should say, with prayers, with petitions, with intercessions, and even with thanksgiving for all men. For all men, that means for the world at large. Of course, later on, he talks about those who are in power in the earthly kingdoms and nations for the sake of the peace and tranquility, so that we, God's people, can live a life of gravity and godliness, to express God, to fulfill God's purpose. Likewise, we are then charged to pray according to the Savior God's desire, and that is that all men should be saved and to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And so we know what we should do. The first thing is to pray. So as much as we are on this matter of shepherding, and this morning actually in the second session, according to the outlines anyway, by the way, I'm not going to go line by line on these outlines. I'm just going to speak using these outlines, the burden that is on my heart on shepherding. But the point is that we should these days pray more than ever. I hope all the churches in the recovery there in Northern California, you would be a praying church, not a talking church, not a, you know, a debating church, not a discussing church. Don't come to your small group meeting and spend a whole night on Israel, on Hamas, on Palestinians, don't do this. This is not good. All right? This will stir up differences of opinions, diverse mindedness, even contention. It is not building up the church. So avoid doing that. However, when the church comes together to pray, as the Lord's body, putting on Christ as the whole armor, we surely are in a position to pray the prayer of warfare against God's enemy, who is our enemy, who is the church's enemy, who is everybody's enemy at the end of the day. By the way, we have learned over time that spiritual warfare is a body matter, is a church matter. So these days, dear saints, we need to join the prayer meeting. We need to make prayer, again, our central ministry, and suppress the talk, restrain the gossip and discussion. We just go to God and go to the Lord in prayer for His will to be done. We, like others, don't fully understand all the situation, but we have been taught by the Lord how to pray, and that is His will be done. His name would be hallowed or sanctified, and that His kingdom would come. We need to pray that way, always. In other words, as His church on the earth, we stand with Christ. As the body on the earth, we stand with the head in the heavens on the throne, with His rule, with His sovereign administration, with everything that is going on. Lord, Your will be done. Now, as it relates to Israel, in these couple of weeks, my first feeling, and still my continual feeling, is that all that this nation is facing, in a way, should not surprise us. And these were Israel's destiny, and which she had experienced since the Old Testament time and surely into the New, and definitely in our age, since the Reformation of Israel in 1948. And so all the sufferings, all the things that God's people went through, it is of the Lord. And God's judgment, God's dealing, serious dealing with His own people, it is the Lord. It is God. But you and I have to believe at the end of the day, this is the Israel of God. This is His people. This is His nation. We're not pro-Israel. We're not Zionist. Please do not use those terms. We are just God's New Testament people, and we are God's people, spiritually speaking, even though most of us are so-called Gentiles. We're all actually are the children and the offspring of the same one, Abraham, the father of faith, who received from Jehovah the promise of a blessed descendants that will fill the earth like sand, and also the stars in the heavens. And I don't need to get into the interpretation and all of that, and that is simply God's people of faith. And we also know that no matter what, behind the scenes, God is in control and particularly caring for His people. I would just quickly use the case in the Old Testament itself, when because of their apostasy and their waywardness and in their infidelity, as far as God is concerned, going after idols and drinking from broken cisterns and abandoning God to go after other gods, all of that caused God to be filled with wrath towards Israel, and then to use the nations to deal with them and to judge them. And of course, the end of that was that they all were taken captivity, right, to Babylon. And that was a severe dealing. But we also know that in that situation, God was still taking care of them. So you read the book of Esther, right? A book that even God's name is not mentioned even once. Just Esther, queen, and but behind the scenes in that story is the Almighty, the all-knowing, and the omnipotent God. In a hidden way, according to his sovereignty and his wisdom, and certainly his care and love for his own people, would arrange human affairs and unbelievably to save his people through Esther. And so you need to read that book again. And actually, too many times in history, this has happened again and again. How can a nation that ceased to exist for 2,000 years became a nation again overnight, if this is not God doing this? I do want to say something, not without any political overtones, but just as a matter of fact, that I'm very thankful that I live and belong to a country, a nation, that despite of the changing environment, despite of so many different kind of convictions and ideologies and beliefs, in the main, still stands for Israel. The word that God gave to Abram still holds. It's still valid and active. Those who would bless you, I will bless. And those who curse you, I will curse. I'm thankful for that. I pray for those in power would continue that stand. So I'm not here spouting my political philosophy. I am going back to the Word of God and be faithful to that. Now, I just want to say this, that I come upon some verses, very comforting and encouraging verses related to God being a shepherd to Israel. So a few verses, and there's many, and you can go look for them yourselves. Psalm 81, O shepherd of Israel, give ear, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You have to realize, ever since the Exodus from Egypt, God has been shepherding this nation as his own flock. This is repeated again and again and again. And then you have verses like Psalm still 78, Psalm 78, verse 71, from following after the ewes, you know, the ewes, you know, the sheep, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people. The old name of Israel, right? And Israel his inheritance. So, brothers and sisters, we just believe the word of God. All right? And let me see. I'm trying to find some other... just a verse or two. Here, a good one. Isaiah 40:11. He will feed his flock as a shepherd. In his arm, he will gather the lambs. In his bosom, he will carry them. He will lead those who are nursing the young. This is referring to the Lord Jehovah, the Mighty One, the ruler. This is the one who will rule, who will shepherd his flock. And just one more verse, if I may. I believe this is in Jeremiah, chapter 31, verse 10. Hear the word of Jehovah, O nations, and declare in the coastlands from afar, and say, he who scattered Israel will gather them and keep them as a shepherd his flock. So we can take comfort, brothers and sisters, that Israel's shepherd is still doing his job, his work in a hidden way. There's also in the book of Ezekiel, particularly chapter 34, where it covers this process of God's recovery in life, that shepherding is a great central part of that. And in chapter 35, chapter 34, and in where am I? Oh, this is in Ezekiel. Again and again, God would say, my sheep, my flock. It's very, very touching. Now, I better move on because of time again here. So, really, everywhere you turn these days, you know, as I'm burdened for shepherding, I find it, you know, even in this world situation today, that the Lord is still the shepherd on the throne, leading and protecting and dealing and guiding and feeding and supplying his own people. And of course, this pertains to Israel. And when the Lord came to the earth for the first time, the first sheep that he looked for and shepherd was the household of Israel. But then the Lord, because he's the Lord, he was there not only to restore and to rescue and to save and to die for those sheep of the house of Israel. He actually came to lay down his soul life for all of his sheep, whether it is Jews or the Greek or the Gentiles, because he said, I have other sheep. Remember in John 10, other sheep that are not of this fold, this Jewish fold, and I must lead them also, and they also will hear my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. This reveals to us, brothers and sisters, that eventually God is after gaining that one universal, unique flock of his, Jews and Gentiles, all part of the one new man, his body. And so this we know. And last time when we met in the very first lesson, I hope you had managed to spend some time on it. It's on the vision of shepherding, mainly pertaining to the Lord himself as this chief shepherd, this good shepherd, the shepherd of all souls. I hope you would do that, you know. Don't let these outlines just kind of just wonderful, some wonderful points, and then you put them away. Spend the time, brothers and sisters, and pray with some of these verses and be inspired again about just who our Lord is, who this shepherd is, and be inspired with his heart, his being, this in giving, supplying this all-inclusive tender care for all of us, without which none of us would be even sitting here this morning. And so I hope that there will be an acquisition of a burden. I told the brothers I really have not much feeling to just talk about shepherding and impress you with points about shepherding or the truth of shepherding. I am just burdened that you, every one of you, would become a shepherd. Every one of us. I am just burdened that today, the church life in the recovery would finally become a model of a shepherding church life. That the central characteristic of the body life, you know, in the Lord's recovery would be this matter of shepherding. I wouldn't even call it a practice, you know, some kind of practice. I would call this is just our life. This is just our service. This is just what we do day and night, no matter what we're engaged in. Whether you are on your own, whether you are with two or three, your vital companions, whether you're in your home group, your small group that meets, that comes together, whether it is the church meetings, the larger meetings, whether it is all the different services of the church, children's work, young people's work, college work, and so many Levitical and practical services of the church that we're engaged in, that all of that, yes, you heard me right, all of that would be suffused with the spirit of shepherding, of care, of tender care, of gentle and mild and compassionate care of people. And that's it. You know, the skill of care and the skill of shepherding is obviously something we need to learn. You know, Moses spent 40 years in the back of the mountain doing nothing but shepherding a bunch of sheep. That was the training that God gave to him, not only to deal with his natural man, his natural zeal, to try to save Israel, to show him that he cannot do any of those. You know, you can punch an Egyptian dead, but that's not the way. God wants a Moses in resurrection, so he needs to throw 40 years to convince him he could not do anything. He's just a thorn bush. He needs the fire. He needs another life. He needs another source. He needs something in resurrection. That's one side. But the other side is 40 long years sitting there just watching a bunch of sheep. Why? Because the day will come when he turned 80 that he will spend another 40 years to watch over a much larger bunch of human sheep called the Israel people, to take them from Egypt through the wilderness into the good land. That's a shepherding work. That was God's flock on the move. And so Moses learned a lot. How to feed, how to shepherd, how to protect, how to guide, how to deal with the sheep. There is the side of learning how to care for people, a great deal to be learned. And in fact, I hope all the churches, as we all get into shepherding, we all become learners. How to shepherd different kinds of sheep. You know, there are all kinds of sheep. How do you care for them? Well, dear saints, this is just my very, very simple and direct burden. Lesson two, which we cover the burden of the shepherd. So what I'm going to do even in this session, I don't feel like I'm going to go to lesson three, even you have the may have the outline. I like to come back to lesson two from last time because in that particular lesson, we were given four very, very precious, very, very operative, very, very useful points of help if we mean business. Now, how can I convince you? I will just do it in one way, and that is talking to you right now is a beneficiary of that fellowship in 1975 in Anaheim. This is what Brother Lee spoke, and I was, you may say, at the right time, in the right place, in front of the right person. I received these four points. By the Lord's mercy and help, I took these four points and begin to practice them. My life, my service in the church was forever changed. I hope I can say, and surely I cannot boast because I have not arrived, that's for sure. I'm still on the way. But I hope I can at least testify to you from the conscience, from a good conscience, that this matter of shepherding has become the controlling thing in my service, whether it is shepherding an individual or a group or a church and even or churches. It's all about shepherding. What's an elder's job? In one word, shepherd the flock of God. That's it. Nothing else. What's the work of a of all the gifts that is mentioned in Ephesians, apostles and evangelists and prophets and shepherds and teachers. Right there you have shepherd and teachers. Actually, all of these different kinds of the New Testament ministry, all these different gifts that the head has given to his body, whatever they do, gospel preaching, establishing churches, propagating the truth, speaking the word of God, whatever these gifts may be doing. Actually, they all are part of a ministry that reflects the heavenly ministry of Christ today as that universal shepherd. So you have the heavenly shepherding ministry of Christ corresponded by the apostolic ministry of God's people on the earth over these last 2,000 years. And so the New Testament ministry that we're engaged in is simply to dispense Christ for the building up, to dispense Christ as life and life supply to his people for the building up of his body. This God's economy is entirely worked out through the act of shepherding, through the work of shepherding, through the service of shepherding, through the ministry of shepherding. I like to see in all the churches in Northern California, old, young, you can even be a high school brother. You can be a little shepherd. You absolutely can, and you absolutely should. A high school sister, you can be a good little shepherd. College age, brothers and sisters, all should learn to be a young shepherd. And the rest of us, of course. To shepherd what? God's sheep, God's lambs, the Lord's lambs, the flock of God. Now, these four points I want to just repeat and remind you and charge you to go and do it. Very practical. Number one, the first thing is you need an adequate contact with the Lord. Well, dear saints, isn't that this where everything starts? We're not here stirring up a shepherding movement, okay? We're not here trying to, you know, do some kind of work here. The source must be the Lord. We have to each spend time with the Lord to contact the Lord specifically about this. Not generally, but specifically. Brotherly used the word, go to the Lord purposely, with purpose, with intention. And don't get distracted by so many needs, so many things. Spend time with the Lord. And Brotherly advised us to go to him just like that slave in Exodus, who was given the option to be freed forever, end of slavery. But who, because of love and love alone, told his master, I love you. I love my wife and I love my children and I will not go out free. I will remain your bond slave, to have this kind of dealing with the Lord afresh. Even for those of us who have been serving the Lord, we need to go to the Lord and have this kind of time with the Lord, each one of us, personally, privately. And as with what happened with that slave, the master immediately took his word and took him to the doorpost and bore a big hole, big fat hole in his ear as a sign that he will serve forever. And that's it. Brothers and sisters, we need this time with the Lord. We need a word from him. We need to affirm to him, reaffirm to him. What are the objects of our love? What is really motivating us to serve in the church life, to serve him? And we also have to let him do something to us, and that is to do something to our ear. Why? Because for a serving one, the most important thing is that they can hear the master. They can receive instructions. They can be told what to do. They would be fully submissive and be subservient to the master's wishes. Brothers and sisters, we need to be with the Lord like this until we get a word from him, until he bores that hole in our ear, until you even have the assurance from him that now when you go, when you contact people, when you go care for people and minister to them, that the master will always give you a timely word to meet that need. In a small way, but I have to testify to you that since that time until now, how many years? What? Goodness, 50 years? 1975, 50 years? That the Lord is still answering my prayer. The Lord is still honoring my consecration. I feel the Lord honored me. Not in so many things, but in this one thing, that when I care for others, when I care for his flock and his sheep, I always have his word, his present, living, timely word, because he has my ears, and I have his voice. And so it is just not me shepherding. It is him shepherding in and through me. That very dealing, this kind of dealing, Peter went through in chapter 21 of John. Three times after his severe failure, wholesale failure of what? Of denying the Lord. Three times. The Lord would not let him go and shepherded him and dealt with him by asking him, do you love me? The Lord would just ask this question, do you love me? Do you really love me? Yes, I do. Okay. Go shepherd. Do you love me? Lord, I do. Go feed my lambs. Do you love me? Lord, you know. Why do you need to ask again? You know. Okay, go feed my sheep. My brothers and sisters, that's it. That's the end of John. Our brother Lee say without John 21, John would have no ending, the Gospel of John. It is this shepherding ministry that will take us from the Gospels, from the Lord's first coming, from the Lord's ascension to his coming back. These 2,000 years. It's the age of shepherding the church, God's people. And that is not not just for Peter. That is not just for Paul. That is for all of us, every member of the Lord's body. The second thing he charged us to do is what? Is to learn to remain in the Lord's presence, to be dealt with by him. I love this. I am not scared of this. I embrace this. When I realize that there is a way, but I have to go through the necessary procedure. And that procedure, there's no way around it. It's God's dealing with us, with me, dealing with me. I need his organic dealing, without which I cannot be useful. I cannot be a proper shepherd. I cannot be up to standard. So here's Brother Lee's prayer. Lord, I'm here. I know that I'm not fitting and useful. What a prayer. What a prayer. Lord, I open myself to you. Listen to this. This is a very strange prayer. Brother Lee said, but Lord, I don't even depend on my opening. Even my opening may mean nothing. I don't trust in that. He said, I depend on your exposing. Lord, bring me into under your light. Shine on me. Shine in me and shine through me and shine thoroughly that I will be fully exposed. Well, you say, really? I'm just going to care for someone. I don't need this. No, we need this. We need this. We need to touch the Lord, check with the Lord, allow the Lord to touch whatever within us that he wants to touch. He may say something about, say, look at your disposition. Your kind of disposition is not suitable. You're so cold. You're just so cold. You don't have one bit of temperature. Yeah, that's touching your disposition. Or he may say, look, you're so selfish. Just everything is selfish. Under the light, you realize you're just a self-centered, self-absorbed. All of us are a little bit narcissistic in that sense. Get out of yourself. If you stay just this way, you cannot serve, you cannot care, you cannot shepherd. So the Lord has his way to touch really, really the sore spots, the areas that needs to be touched, things that other people cannot touch, even those close to us, the Lord have to touch. And we let him touch. The third thing he said is after we offer ourselves to the Lord in a new way, after we have thorough dealings with the Lord, we now can pick up a burden to care for his people. Now we are emptied. Now we are ready to pick up a burden. Now there's some very touching and useful words here by Brother Lee. He said this, you know, this is real. He said, there's no need for you to pray for a particular burden He said, whatever burden we pick up will be the Lord's burden. Now, only someone who has been through this and experienced this knows. And in a small way, I like to testify, I know this. It's when you are the right person, whatever you pick up is right. When you are the wrong person, whatever you pick up is wrong. It's not about the way you do things. It's about who you are. How one you are with the Lord. How much you have been perfected. How much have you been exposed and dealt with? How much have you been transformed, really, to be one with Him? And when you are so one with Him, truly, whatever you do will be His doing it in you. So He spent time even to talk to the teenagers. He said the teenagers among us can pick up the burden. You know, a high schooler can pick up a burden for the junior hires, junior hire, and so on. He said, a young sister can say, I pick up this burden. I give myself to take care of some junior high girls. This is my service. This is my ministry. I'll pick them up. Listen, he said, and I'll bear them all the way to the New Jerusalem. You say, oh, that's really childish, huh? That's only junior high girls would say that. Well, wait a minute. Okay, isn't that what we're doing? Aren't we here to bear people all the way to the New Jerusalem? Seriously. We are. I think some young sisters can mean business to this degree. They are immature. They are not so grown in life. But as far as this heart, I hope our next generation would acquire such a heart for people to shepherd when they're young. He said, even if a teenage saint would do this, they will have the Lord's presence with them, and they will have the Lord's blessing with them. Oh, I believe this. Brothers and sisters, I believe this. He said, we cannot tell how far the Lord will go with these young ones. By this kind of shepherding service, with this kind of shepherding heart, he said, these young ones that are today teenage will be useful in the Lord's recovery in the coming years. And I've seen this, and to some degree, I experienced this. Brothers, we need to raise up a new generation of saints who are shepherds. He continued, he said, we don't need to pray in a begging way at this point. He said, we just say, Lord, by your grace, I pick up the burden to care for this one. Or that one, the young ones, the new ones, the weak ones, in some cases the older ones. Lord, go with me. Come with me. Be with me. I'm going now. You come with me. He said, this is Brother Lee's utterance again. He said, we can even command the Lord in this way. And the Lord will honor us and go with us. Again, my way to try to persuade you of this reality is my own story, my own experience. In all these years, these 50 long years through all kinds of situations. I look back and I can say, the Lord honored me and the Lord went with me. Did I have failures? Yes. Did I make mistakes? Yes. But I'm telling you, in the main, because of my very intentional dealing with the Lord, because of my absolute desperation in this matter, the Lord has some grace with me through this day. Today I'm bearing much, much more burden than 50 years ago. After the 50 years ago in 75, that was a time the next year I went and actually raised up the first church. I was in my 20s. Now, 50 years later, I'm over 70. I have a lot more burden and a lot more things. But this that Brother Lee is describing here did not change. I like to tell you, brothers and sisters, there is nothing more important in our carrying out the Lord's commission, doing the Lord's work, you know, than this one thing. And that is, you know he's with you. And you know he honors you, what you do. That doesn't mean we're perfect again. That doesn't mean that. But his presence, his honoring, which is his pledging to support you, nothing is more important than that. You may be going just to visit one person, not a bunch of churches, one person. The important thing, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. My, that changes everything. Something will happen when we have the Lord's presence in this kind of a way. All the brothers and sisters I'm speaking to this morning, you have to pick up this burden. I just have to say this again and again. You have to. Older sisters, go and pick up some burden for the younger sisters, okay? Go and pick up some burden of your age bracket. Go and pick up saints, older saints. Pick them up. No, this is not elders' arrangement. I would ask leading brothers, please don't go around arranging things. No. Let the chief shepherd arrange. Let the chief shepherd direct, because this is his flock and his sheep. No one will appoint you to this service. No, it won't happen. You just go to the head. You just go to the chief shepherd. You just go to the Lord and have a thorough dealing with him and just start picking up the burden. And you start going. Don't wait. To the extent that you have dealt with the Lord will commission you that much, okay? And then you can go. You don't need to be fully transformed to go. That's not how it works. In fact, it is by your going and your coming, going and coming to the Lord and going again to his people. That is the priestly job, right? That is the shepherd. It is by that that we learn, that we grow, that we really become a skillful shepherd and a useful serving one in the church. Okay, lastly, then we can take a break here. The last thing is fourth thing. This is the fourth thing. After we consecrated ourselves, after we dealt with the Lord, after we pick up a burden, we have to do the last thing, and that is to pick up someone. And this requires us to lift up our eyes, so to speak, and look at the field. It requires us to take us from all kinds of navel gazing to start looking at people, people, brothers and sisters, saints, all over. You know, I said there's 7 billion people on the earth. Don't tell me this. You cannot find one person that has a need. In Northern California, I don't know how many millions in your city, in your church. If your eyes are open, you will see needy ones everywhere. Sinners, unbelievers, all around, young and new believers, all around, weak and peripheral believers, all around. It's just that, it's not that they're not there, it's just that we don't see them. They've become invisible. But once your heart is changed, you got a transplant heart for people. You look around and suddenly the needs are overwhelming. And don't wait for the elders. Oh, this is the elders' job. That's not the elders' job. That's your job and mine. The elders cannot take care of so many. They don't even know them. But you know because you're neighbor. You know because there's a history. You know because the Lord put his or her name in your heart. And so you've been commissioned. Because of the fall, we're all part of that. We all are not interested in others. This is part of the fall. We only are interested in ourselves. We don't care for other people's well-being. We don't care how they're growing in life. We don't care of our own situation. All we care for is our own personal welfare. Even my own spirituality. How am I doing? Am I growing in life? It's time to think about how the others are growing in life or not. Not you. By the way, the more I care for other people, the more I grow in life. You understand what I'm saying? There's this verse in Proverbs that Brother Lee gave in 1975 that never left me, and that is Proverbs 11:25. The blessing soul will prosper, and he who waters will also be watered himself. The more you give, the more you receive. This is the principle of that water hose. When you don't flow, when you don't give, you're stuck. But the more you flow, the more you water others, the more you bless others, you will prosper. You will gain more. You will grow in life. The church service in whatever locality you're in requires every one of you to be involved with others. So you got to go against your individualism, your propensity to be alone, your inclination to be private and by yourself. You had to start to get involved with people, to have an interest in people. And that is the first chapter of that book called The Character of the Lord's Worker by Watchman Nee, a lover of men. It does not say a lover of brothers. It's a lover of men, all men, all kinds of people. When it comes to people, we become so selective. Well, this one is no good. That one probably doesn't have a future. This one, I don't think he will make it into the kingdom. I don't think so. And that one, well, how about you? Did you look at your mirror? Are you that overcomer? Without someone caring for you, you won't be here. Someone care for each one of us, and so we're sitting here this morning. Someone pray for me. Someone sought me out. I can testify, multiple people over time. We should all pray, Lord, burden me. I want to be fully interested and involved with all your dear saints, not in a natural way, not in a social way, but in the way of life. Lord, I'm willing to pay the price, even at the cost of my life. I love these people. I would die for them. I want to see them grow, saved, grow in life, and become mature. That is the Apostle Paul. And you will see this, if I have time, in the next session, in lesson 3. That is Paul. He said, I will spend and be spent on your behalf of your souls, because I'm like the parent. The children do not save up for the parents. It's the other way. Paul was not doing his job. Paul was not discharging his duty. Paul was not fulfilling his responsibility. For Paul was simply enamored. Paul was simply in love. With the saints. He sought no return. He sought no award or reward. He would give his eyes for them. He would give his heart for them. He would give his life for them, which he did. Then we can pick up the burden for some specific persons. We should make a list of their names, keep it in front of us, and pray for them one by one. So now, I want to end this session with this one thing. I want all of us to go through these steps with the Lord in a cyclical way, right? Not in a once and for all way, with the Lord. And when you come to this point, start considering names. Start considering who. You pray. You open your eyes. You open your heart and say, Lord, my heart is empty now. Put whoever you want to put there and see what the Lord will do. Then you may consider. Then you may look around. It helps. You go to the meeting. Don't just go to the meeting and bow your head and look at yourself. How about go to the meeting and look around? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that brother? Who's that new one? How about doing that for a change? I have to believe the Lord will give you some names. How about I ask you to at least have 3 names? You know, you say, why 3 names? I don't know. Maybe because I'm thinking Luke 15. The shepherd looking for one lost sheep out of the 100. The woman looking for one coin in the house. And the father waiting for one prodigal to return. Maybe that's what I'm thinking. But how about the name of one sheep, the name of one coin, and the name of one son? One unbeliever, one lost one, and one prodigal returning one. They're all around. They're all around. Then start praying for them. All right. I just stop here.
Amen.
Let's have a break.